Rule one of building the cloud, ruthlessly automate everything.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 55. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me as always is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, man?
Glorious.
Why are you glorious?
I'm really excited about some of the stuff that's going to get announced at VMworld. I've been having some chats today with Krishman Dickman and like just seeing some of the stuff that's coming out. It's going
to
be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. All right. Before we kick this off, a quick show note. For those of you that are subscribed to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, we've moved. We're no longer being hosted on SoundCloud. We're now being hosted by a company called Zencast. If you're subscribed, it shouldn't really mean any difference to you. However, now you can go to vspeakingpodcast.com and see a full list of all the episodes there that you can play right there if you want. You can also see all the show notes for each episode there. And you can also see there's a guest page where you can see all the pretty faces we've been interviewing all year. Two of those pretty faces are joining us today, William Lamb and Alan Renouf. Gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, first things first, William Lamb, congratulations for taking the number one spot on the top V-blogs of 2017.
Thanks.
Woo!
Wow. You seem really excited about that, man. I was hoping for this long explanation of, I'd like to thank all the people that made it possible.
I'm awesome. Yeah. I know it.
And speaking of which, I want to congratulate you guys on making number two on the podcast. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we've been called number two before. It's okay.
Just to let you know, I voted for you for number one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So yeah, listen, we brought you guys on because a couple of reasons. We wanted to talk to you about what you guys are doing at VMworld for sure. I know you guys got some cool stuff going on. But you guys have both been very influential in this IT community as it pertains to automation. So I thought it'd be cool to have a conversation with you around what are some of the more common automation practices? What are people coming to you for? And maybe you can share some cool insights with us on what you're working on in terms of automation. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, let's start with VMworld. I know you guys have got some great sessions. We're going to be sure to add those to the show notes of this podcast. But tell me a little bit about the hackathon. I know we talked with you guys last year about it, and I know you're doing it again. So I'm really curious. Give me the 5-minute pitch here. What's going on at the hackathon and why should I go?
Yeah, so go ahead.
And if you guys could talk in unison, that would be awesome. That would be great.
Go for it.
Yeah, okay. Should we do every other word, William?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually quite funny because at VMware, when I go to meetings, I know if William's there, I don't need to be there because we have very similar similar opinions. So we kind of do talk in unison. Anyway, the hackathon, yes. Last year, we threw a great hackathon at both Vegas and Barcelona. It was the first of its type. So, we generally geeked out. We got a bunch of people in a room and said to them, hack away on our product, do something cool with our product, use the APIs, do some coding, use Power CLI, use our CLIs, use our SDKs, and then stand up at the end and tell us what you did. It turned out to be absolutely awesome. I mean, we had a bunch of teams put their names in. They went through, some different tasks and produced different things, and then they got judged, and the winners walked away with some nice nuts or some other things. And I saw several blog posts last year saying how it was the highlight of a lot of people's VMworld because, not only did they come and geek out, but they had a chance to drink with similar-minded people and talk to similar-minded people and, meet some of the experts there, like William and some people internally. Well, this year, because last year was such a success, we actually got more budget from the team that does this, the VMware code team. So, William's, I know, already spent that budget on some higher spec servers, which he'll go through in a moment. But we've really ramped this year up a little bit more. So not only are we doing the hackathon, but we're actually starting the Monday night off with some pre-sessions, because some of the feedback we got from last year was people that were attending were like, I kind of don't know how to hack, so I'm very shy and I don't want to join in. I kind of put myself out there and want to learn the latest stuff. So I would just join something not knowing what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah.
But other people are a little bit more shy and they're like, you know, is there any way we can have like a pre-class that teaches us some of the fundamentals? And then I'm more than happy to sit in the actual hackathon. So this year, what we've done is we've got four different pre-sessions, training sessions that are actually going to talk you through different aspects. Like there's one on the SDKs, the Python SDK. So it takes you through all the way from downloading the SDK up until, you know, writing samples and running those samples. So really getting people started in those SDKs. We've got another one on Clarity. And again, it's about, you know, how to download it and create your first app in Clarity. We've got another one on the Amazon Echoes, on how to integrate with Amazon Echoes. And again, they're going to be taking you through step by step on how to do things. And another one on the CNA applications that are out there as well, and the products that we produce, and taking you through the installation and usage of those. So it's really giving people that head start before they get to the hackathon. It's mutually exclusive, so they can do the training and then not even go to the hackathon, or they don't have to do the training and they can definitely sign up for the hackathon. So this year we've kind of given you those trainings. And then for the actual hackathon itself, we're doing a similar style where we've had teams sign up with ideas and then other people join those teams. And this year we've extended it to 15 teams in Vegas, and there'll be a number of teams in Europe as well. People are already signing up for that one. And again, they'll have a chance to show us what they've done and be judged on that and walk away with some pretty cool prizes.
But for Vegas, aren't you already filled up with 15 teams?
Yeah, I just saw it. I just saw that actually it was quite a famous name that I saw on there. Richard Darstasian added his name for the last one. So
wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. The last slot was just taken a moment ago. But there's definitely slots where people can sign up and join the existing teams. You just can't suggest any new teams, right?
Oh, okay. So if I want to go, I can get on one of the other teams. And if even if I just want to go and watch, or is that loitering?
Yeah, there's a separate area for people to actually go watch. There's a separate sign up. One of the things we did this year as well is included it all in the session catalog. So you can actually go to the session catalog, you can search for hackathon, and then you can sign up to either participate in the hackathon, or you can sign up to just stand there and heckle and boo and ask questions.
Yeah, there's a loitering section for you, Pete.
I appreciate that, because that's what I did in Barcelona. I stood there and just heckled everybody. I didn't do any work.
There you go.
But it was fun.
That's good. Yeah, come drink, eat pizza, and heckle.
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, just to come meet people. I mean, this is a great opportunity, you know, during just like the rest of the week to meet, you know, VMware engineers, developers that might be working on a particular feature. If you want to grab some time of Alan's time and trying to get some questions through some automation, it's a great time. So you don't have to actually partake in the hackathon itself, but you can just come watch. And we had a lot of people who came by last year, stood around for a little bit, had a chat with some of the teams, and we had a couple of folks actually joining the hackathon itself, right? Because they found it to be really, really interesting. So that's the really nice part about this event, that there's a little bit of something for everybody.
Nice. And what day is it?
It's going to be starting on Monday evening. So the training classes that Ellen mentioned are going to start, I believe, around 6:30. They're going to run roughly about an hour and a half. So it's going to run till 8 p.m. So we have those four training sessions. And then the main hackathon session is going to start right on the 8 o'clock. So if folks are doing some of the training and want to get a head start, we want to make sure that we give them sufficient time. So we're probably going to start wrapping up around 10 to 15 minutes on the training session, so folks have time to move to the main hackathon session. And the hackathon itself is going to go from 8, and I believe it's going to be probably around 11:30. Is that right, Alan? Roughly around that time before we get to some judging and presentation?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I'll be there as well, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there. John, you going to go?
Yeah. I've got a couple questions. So the hackathon training sessions, those look like those would actually make really good hands-on labs in the future. Just maybe this is less of a question and more of a thought.
Yeah, we had a lot of feedback, and we kind of looked at, you know, how some of these trainings might have occurred in the past. And we didn't want this to be kind of a one-way conversation. We want this to be super interactive. And so when I spoke with the trainers, you know, I said, really, you know, keep the slides light. We want to introduce some concepts so that we kind of baseline the audience. But this is kind of bring your own laptop, bring your own devices, and get hands-on right away. And so all the training is set up in that nature. We've asked the teams to also commit all of their code into GitHub repositories. And so when you leave the session, you can actually continue taking this home. You can train, you can give it to other folks and all that. So it's very interactive. We want people to kind of ask questions. So these sessions themselves are pretty open-ended. It's going to be structured in the beginning just to kind of get people and kind of get a feel for where people are at. And then after that, it's really up in the air and it's really based on the audience and kind of work with the trainers and say, hey, do you have questions? And if you want to go beyond what's part of the class, you can. So it's really different than sort of your traditional hands-on lab where it's very guided and it's very hard to kind of deviate from that. Or if you do, there's not somebody to kind of help you out with that. So that's one of the differences that we try to incorporate into these types of training sessions.
The other thing is I was looking through some of the teams. It's interesting seeing just the diversity of what the different kind of things going on, as well as there's also the extreme guys who are claiming that their mission is a secret. I see Wavefront, which is a really cool acquisition VMware made that I think a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of. Maybe we need to get some of those guys on the podcast. But looking at just in terms of a SaaS-based metric monitoring, there's some really cool stuff that it can do. And so I can see, you know, even if you go to just be a lurker, you can learn a lot about a lot of different things just by looking at what everyone's kind of doing here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm really pleased with the diversity of the teams this year. I think it's going to be interesting on the night to see how much people achieve in the 2.5 hours that they're given. That's a very short time frame for a hackathon, I know. But not only that, you know, like William said, we do encourage people to take this work away with them and take the knowledge away with them as well and keep going with it. You know, this is just a start. This is just a way to introduce you to some of the key concepts. Once they've done that, they will have a GitHub repo, hopefully, that they can just pick up and understand that it's okay to contribute back and share the love with everybody else that's trying to do this stuff as well.
So, William, I've been watching your Twitter feed and you keep, you know, you've been desperately waiting for all the hardware. It's been coming in piece by piece. Why don't you tell us what the setup's going to look like there? What kind of hardware are you bringing to Vegas?
Oh, man, it's the memory finally came. Oh. Yeah, so we're going a lot bigger this year. Like Alan said, you know, we got a bigger budget, you know, just because the event was so successful last year. We started with 7 teams. This year, we have a total of 15 teams. In total, I think we'll have probably a little bit over 200-300 people attend, you know, and probably more attending during the conference. So on the hardware itself, for those of you that don't remember, we used some Intel NUCs last year.
Yep.
So we had 7 standalone Intel NUCs. These were standalone vSAN hosts running 32 gigs of memory. Decently sized, but the team still weren't able to do a whole lot with it in terms of just its CPU capacity. So this year we went a little bit bigger and we got a nice 6-node Supermicro E200 cluster. These systems are fully loaded, 128 gigs of memory.
Nice.
1 terabyte of capacity for the SSD backend storage for vSAN. And then a 250 gigabyte NVMe cache. So big honking machine. So we got this whole big cluster. And what I've done this year is set it up so the networking itself is a little bit more easier to consume. Last year, we kind of had a flat /24 network, right? So it was potentially easy to stomp on each other's teams, networking IP space or getting some conflicts. So this year we made use of NSX, did some cool things with like OSPF, dynamic routing. But basically when you log in, you're kind of isolated in your own little vPOD environment. You're not going to see anybody else's environments. You're going to be logically separated in terms of networking standpoint, right? So everything's very simple. You log in and you'll have a vCenter server appliance that's been configured for you already. Obviously, running vSAN, you'll have 3 nodes, nested ESXi VMs running. You'll have roughly about 80 gigabytes of storage capacity. And that's really for you to run little tiny VMs. One of the big differences this year is that we don't want to kind of this double nested impact. So we have this big honking cluster. So folks will be able to log into the management cluster, use content library. One of the feedback that we got from last year was that, you know, uploading content took a really long time over the Wi-Fi access point. So what I did was I kind of reached out to folks that were taking part in the hackathon and getting feedback and loaded up a bunch of ISOs and OVAs into the vSphere content library that's backed by the vSAN data store. And so when you go and you say, hey, I want to deploy something with VRA or I want to do something with VROps, it's simply go in the content library, right-click and deploy, and you won't have to worry about uploading, right? And so you'll have access to that infrastructure. So super excited about it. I've had a lot of fun playing with it. You know, it's been some time since I've got to play with a little bit of hardware, but still geeking out on the automation stuff and trying to automate as much as I can, especially with the deadlines and constraints I've been kind of dealt with. But it's been really fun and kind of sharing that on Twitter as well. And then lastly, the one thing I want to share also is that the grand prize this year has also gone up as well. So the grand prize for the winning hackathon team will be two different things. The first is that everybody on the winning team will get the full-size Amazon Echo. Really neat device. I actually own an Echo Dot, right? So you'll have the full size. And then within the winning team itself, we're actually going to be raffling off 2 of these Supermicro servers, right? So you heard that right. You're going to get 2 of those Supermicro servers. And wow, given the teams currently right now are 8,
the chances are very high that you might actually win one of these. So hopefully this is some extra motivation for the teams to work extra hard for the hackathon itself.
Wow, that's a pretty hefty prize, man. We need to get on one of these teams, man.
Yeah, I think I know Nick Corti. I can join his team. He'll probably let me on. So,
isn't there a team called Sabotage on there somewhere?
Yeah, Sabotage.
It's full. That's Jace McCarthy's team, the vSAN stretch cluster automated deployment.
That team was full and over full. I think he took on a couple of extras outside of the number that we allocated as well. So,
oh boy.
Hey, that's cheating. No, no extra, no consultancy, man.
Right.
He's got some ringers. I love it.
Yeah, the names are great here. Like Defend the Key Store, Defenders of the Key Store for the automating, you know, high trust deployment. Like it's yeah, Sabotage, the Humble Brackets, See My Vest. Oh, Vester, get it.
It not only the names, but it's just like Alan said, it's such a great diversity of products. I mean, literally, I see a little bit of something across all of our product line, right? So it's not just purely focused on vSphere, which it historically might have been. It's like there's some storage, there's some networking, there's some vRealize products, there's some CNA stuff, or there's some, you know, SaaS products. I mean, there's a little bit of everything. And so we really wanted to make it diverse. And funny enough, you know, this kind of just happened organically. It's not like we said, hey, these are things you should be applying for. So it kind of shows you just the interest level across our customer base. And we have VMware employees taking part in this. We have partners, field, like it's a great mix of folks. So, you know, me and Alan are super excited to see what comes out of the hackathon.
Yeah, don't, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I'm not smart enough to join one of these teams, get over it. Don't sit on the fence. Join one of these teams. If you're not smart enough, you'll soon be smart enough because you'll learn from all these smart people. I can't say that enough. I keep talking to people over and over again saying, oh, you're joining the teams. They're like, no, I couldn't really add value. And, you know, I'm like, of course you could. You know, it's not just the programmers, the coders that they need on these teams. It's people that know the products inside out so that they can offer that perspective on what the product should actually do.
Okay.
It's people that know graphics. It's people that know UI. It's people to test. It's people to put the presentation together. It's, you know, people to go get the beers and pizzas, you know, or whatever. You know, sit there and learn from these people. Just get involved.
I like that. I like that. Because, yeah, I think when I heard about this the very first time, my initial feeling was I probably shouldn't be in this team because these guys are going to be all William Lambs and Alan Renouf's, you know. But yeah, but when I got there, I noticed, you know, that it was a team effort. Everybody was sort of doing, like, Cormac is a smart guy. He really knows storage, but he's not a developer. He's certainly not he's not a programmer. But he was in there just providing some infrastructure knowledge, and everybody was really chipping in. So I think if you're in the world of vSphere or VMware in general, I think you have something to contribute. So don't let that stop you. Get in there and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. And even if you're not in the world of VMware, I would say that you can still contribute. Like Alan said, you know, there are cases where we need some UX feedback, UI designing, and that may not have anything to do with VMware products per se. So I think everybody can contribute. And I think what's really important this year that's, you know, changed, and I think it's part of the maturity of the program itself, is that we're going to have, you know, a scoring rubric this year. And it's not going to be purely based on what you kind of demonstrate at the end of the presentation to the judges. And just as an FYI, before we get bribes, neither Alan or I are actually going to be judges this year. So no need to send those briberies just yet. But
nice. No, please do send them.
Yeah,
we'll happily take right. them.
We will consider it. We just have zero influence on that.
But
one of the scoring criteria this year is actually team collaboration. So what's changed this year is that we're going to have the judges, right? They're not just going to be there sitting around. They're going to be walking around, talking to the teams throughout the entire hackathon session. And that's going to add up to the scores of potentially who might win in the hackathon itself. And so if we have sort of, you know, a single superstar that's just doing all the work, not collaborative, sharing, you're going to get some points knocked down for that. And same with creativity and uniqueness, right? If you take a project that's existing and you're simply adding a couple of lines to it, right? Obviously, that's not going to score as high as somebody who's come up with a, you know, brand new concept. So we're trying to be a little bit more fair this year. And so that collaboration aspect of it is going to be part of the scoring aspect of it. So, you know, do look out for judges walking around and stuff. And so back to your point earlier is that you don't need to be a superstar, right? It's like we want everybody to learn. And that's kind of the theme of the event itself, is that you should go into this learning something brand new that you've never done before, right? Because if you've gone in and done it before, then you're not really learning and you're not sharing that information with other people as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think John and I should be judges because, you know, I think we could be pretty good judges. And then for everyone listening, you could send all of your bribes to podcast@vmware.com.
Ah, I knew those.
Yeah. I think with you guys as judges, we know which team would win on this list, don't we?
Yeah, the highest payer, the highest bidder.
Yeah, my Bitcoin wallet address.
Must be the NSX one then.
Yeah.
I love it. So one more question for you. I know this is all being done at VMworld, but I heard something about there was like an internal version of the hackathon going on. Were you guys involved with that?
So yes, we are. We were. So essentially what VMware does, which is pretty cool actually, is they run their own internal hackathons. And what they do is they essentially have a similar format to what we had, which is you decide what you're going to do and you recruit your teammates and you put ideas in, and then you go into a room and kind of lock yourself in there for a day and a half to 2 days. And you can literally stay there all night if you want. They provide you showers, food, sleeping bags, stuff like that. So you just go to this place and you work on your idea, and then you present it at the end. And then based upon, you know, what you present and the way you did it and things like that, you maybe get to the next level, and then you maybe win a small prize or two. So yeah, we actually put together a team this year for the internal VMware hackathon. It was myself, William Lamb, Steve Trefethin from the SDK team here at VMware, Vinod from the SDK team, and YDK as well, who's in the same business unit as William. So we put together a team that basically worked on an idea to do with virtual reality. Again, it was an area that few of us knew. We were somewhat interested in what we could do. So we got into a room. We discussed what we were going to do. We had some equipment available to us, which we bought in, and we hacked away for a couple of days. And I was pretty happy with the end results, and you're going to see these end results at the hackathon if you come along. You're actually going to get a chance to pop the headset on and immerse yourself into the world that we have created and try this out. It's VMware related. I don't want to give away too much information because I want people to actually come and try it out and see what it's all about. But I was happy with what we got done in that day and a half. We've made some slight alterations to it recently, but it's pretty cool.
And to be honest, we actually didn't make a whole lot of progress until maybe the last half of that day.
Yeah.
Both Al and I went in sort of like, hey, you know, we deal with our APIs and SDK, so we wanted to put ourselves into an uncomfortable position where we've never dealt with virtual reality. The framework that it uses is something called Unity. I had never worked with this thing before. You had to kind of figure out how to do 3D designing. Realize that it's really difficult to design a UX in 3D space and kind of getting all those coordinates mapped out. Like, my brain was literally hurting after that week. But it was sort of, you know, it's the same thing to like our VMworld hackathon, right? It's sort of like go in and pick a team that you've never done anything before, right? It's really hard to find that time during your day to day. And so I really appreciate that VMware provides this opportunity to all of its engineering team, as well as, you know, any VMware employee for that matter. You don't need to be engineering to join the hackathon. And it's just some dedicated time that you can kind of go out, find something that you're interested in. Like Alan said, you know, VR is not really a space that VMware is really looking into at the moment. It could be in the future, but it's just something that we thought it was interesting and we just wanted to play around with it. And if we didn't get anything out of it, at least we'd learn something brand new. And it was really fun in that day and a half. And, you know, I think we made a lot of progress. And like Alan said, you can come check out at the hackathon itself. And also, interestingly, the project was so liked by some of our executive leadership. They're going to actually be presenting Alan's demo, and he's going to be talking with Raghu and a couple of the leaders in a spotlight session, I think on Tuesday, right, Alan?
Yeah, that's right. Tuesday at 2:00, I'm going to be on stage with Mark Lohmeyer, with Raghu, and with some of the other executives. And we're going to be giving a pretty cool demo of what we achieved here.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I agree. I love that about VMware. I love the fact that they really advocate innovation and just getting in there and trying new things, and they really provide that area. How often do they do that internal hackathon? Is it just once a year, quarter? What is it?
No. In Palo Alto, it runs 2 times a year. So it just passed. So I think the next one's probably sometime in the fall, probably around September, October. So they'll generally send out kind of like a mass email. You can go to our internal site if you're a VMware employee. I think it's like rnd.inge.vmware.com, and you can check it out. Also, if you're located in some of the remote sites, they also have their own local hackathons. And so over in Bangalore, in Europe, and even over in the East Coast, they have kind of their own local sites. So there's a lot of the opportunity internally. And for any VMware listeners, you know, obviously take that opportunity, right? It's a couple of days of your time. you know, it is a lot to ask of, but it's a great time to kind of meet folks. And like for this particular hackathon, I met somebody within my BU that I never probably would have crossed paths on a regular basis, right? And it was an awesome guy. Found out that he actually read some of my blogs, but it was great to kind of collaborate, learn new things. And same for the engineering teams, like they work on the SDKs on a regular basis, but they don't always have the opportunity to actually consume it. And so for those folks, their opportunity was really kind of using this as our customers would, and some of the challenges they faced and how they might use it. So it was kind of a great learning experience for everybody. So I really enjoyed it. So highly recommend to any VMware employee if you get the opportunity.
Oh, okay. So I did. You blog? You're a blogger?
No, just once in a while.
Oh, interesting. What do you blog about? Anything good?
Just a diary of myself, like regular basis. This is what I eat.
Nice.
I'm profoundly dumbfounded, William.
I'm never going to live down that quote.
No,
you're not.
I am profoundly dumbfounded.
Yes, that's one of my favorite sound bites. Anyway, moving along. Listen, that was one of the reasons we wanted you to come on. We're really excited. We're going to be at the hackathon. It's going to be fun. But you guys have both been doing a ton for years about automation. And so quick question for you, both of you. What have been some of the more either popular blog posts that you guys have written that have been, you know, that you've been getting the most feedback from, or the most hits or whatever, or the most common questions you get from people around automating anything inside of the software-defined data center?
Yeah, so I'll start off with that one. And I, not to bring it straight back to the hackathon, but I do want to say that, you know, myself and William both blogged parts of the way that we stood up the hackathon because, you know, as William said, we've probably got like, how many boxes is it this year, William? Like 6, 7, 8, 9, including the training?
Yep, 9 systems altogether.
Right. So 9 boxes to stand up. And believe it or not, they all look pretty similar. You know, they've all got ESX on them. They've all got vSphere. They've all got vSAN. They've all got nested environments. They've got content library. They've got content within that content library. So one of the things that we decided to do last year, and I think we're pretty glad that we did do that last year because it certainly saved us time this year, is automating the entire setup from end to end, literally to the point where William has a USB key, he puts it in a server, walks away, comes back, and the entire environment is set up. So, you know, that in itself is an awesome use case, not only for the hackathon, but also been picked up by some of our other customers that have the exact same use case of deploying our software en masse. And deploying it very quickly to a standard configuration. So, you know, that certainly has been some of the popular blog posts on my site. And I know it's been a very, very popular blog post on William's site as well. Other than the configuration side of things, there's always the reporting and checking scripts as well. So vCheck is always my number one hit blog post every single day.
Yep.
You know, the ability to actually go out and just check your environment for community known issues. So not just issues that I've had, but issues that everybody else has had in the community, and instantly understand, you know, what your environment looks like and any issues you might have, much like the vSAN health check. That's still the number one automation area that I've personally have on my blog.
Yeah, for me, it's very similar as well. I think one of the common ones that I get all the time is sort of, you know, automated ESXi deployments for customers that are using scripted installation, also known as Kickstart. So I continuously still get a ton of questions on that. And in fact, that's actually one of the basis of what I had worked on last year, which is kind of this USB to SDDC project where you have this USB key, you encode it with the bits that you want, you plug it into a server, you power it on, and you walk away. It's literally zero touch other than you having to power on the system. And I was able to make use of most of that code this year because we did go a little bit bigger this year, changed the configuration. I did need to make some more tweaks to it. But generally, you know, automating ESXi deployments is still a very common thing that customers are still dealing with. You know, folks that have historically done this by hand want to kind of learn how to do it at scale, whether using auto deploy or using kickstarts. The other more frequently one I also get asked of is, which is sort of, how do I deploy a full vSphere-based environment as kind of a foundation so that I can start learning about things like NSX and vRealize? And so a lot of times that happens in a nested environment. So I think a year or two ago, I wrote kind of this automated script that will deploy, you know, your vCenter server appliance, nested ESXi VMs that I've created, hook everything up together, set up the vSAN cluster. And so you have this kind of little vPod environments and everything could be up and running in about 20, 30 minutes, depending on your underlying physical infrastructure. And that also became the basis of what we did for this year's hackathon, where I was deploying these vPods. Obviously, I had to make a couple of tweaks to it and we had to deploy 15 of them. And I don't know about you guys, but I hate clicking. I don't want to get carpal tunnel syndrome by using our web clients. So I just did a nice little for loop, right? And the deployment took about 10 and a half hours, right? So there was a lot of stuff being deployed and configured. And just think about that for a second. It's 10 and a half hours to deploy 15 vPods. And this is via automation. All I had to do is hit enter and walk away, right? I got to go enjoy a little bit of a Game of Thrones this week. So I don't have time to sit here and watch the progress bar. But just think about that, you know, 10 and a half hours of automated time. So just imagine if you had to do one of those pods by hand, right? And ensuring that you don't make any mistakes. And so the point is that even if it's something that's very tiny, it's worth the opportunity to learn about it. And you may not get the immediate ROI, but you might say maybe down the path, you know, your boss might say, hey, we actually need to deploy 1,000 VMs. Well, you probably should have thought about automating that single VM or two VMs, right? So it's taking that opportunity, and it's always a balance, right? It's not going to be like, hey, there are certain parts of the system where I just did it by hand because I knew that this was probably not one off. And that's kind of one of those trade-offs. But I think overall, you know, folks should consider taking the time to kind of learn about how the system works, right? Before you even touch automation and figure out like what you're going to use, is make sure you really understand the functionality, understand the features, its implication, and then start to investigate sort of how might I automate it, and really start in a piecemeal fashion, right? Don't try to boil the ocean, say, hey, I want to deploy the entire CDC. Figure out, hey, how do I deploy vCenter automatically? How do I configure port groups and clusters and kind of slowly build it up? And then over time, you kind of put these things together and you now have a larger script that you can use to kind of deploy these larger based environments.
Obviously, you've been working on automation a long time. How many of those hours of automation, you know, whereas previous scripts you were kind of compiling together, how much of this was standing on, you know, the shoulders of work that had been done before?
For me personally, it's been a high percentage. When I first started, and I don't think I've said this too much, you know, externally before, you know, back in the day when I had first started, you know, literally just came out of college, I was asked to do some automation. The first thing I did was basically dig in our vCenter server database, right? So I even have an article that says, don't do that. You know, kittens will die. It was kind of a cat.
I'm sorry.
I'm a dog person. I'm a dog person anyway, so that's all good. So, you know, when I first started, I wrote really, really tiny little scripts. You know, they started as shell scripts, you know, the days that we still had our classic ESX service console. All right, these little snippets, I would automate the port group creation. I might automate NTP and syslog. And then over time, you realize it's like, hey, I can string these things together. And then after that, it's like, well, shell scripting probably isn't the right language to do in some more advanced flows and start using our APIs, start exploring PowerShell, Perl, Ruby, Python. And so it is really building upon that. And the more you use, especially our APIs, right, you're going to get more familiar with how the APIs actually work, right? So you might understand how the features work. And as you start to play with the APIs and say, hey, here's how the storage APIs kind of work. Let me take a look at the networking APIs. And you say, okay, this is kind of how they work. And you kind of start able to put these pieces together. And what ends up happening is that you're now able to do things, brand new things that you never done before. But because you've not only use the APIs much more frequently, it feels more comfortable. You know where to find things. It really accelerates the work that you're trying to accomplish. And so there are times I'm still writing things from scratch because I'm learning about brand new things. But over time, I'm actually reusing a lot of components that I've written over the past. And so I actually search for my stuff on Google all the time and then kind of surprisingly found, you know, scripts I've written, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that I completely forgot about.
Yeah. I just want to, you know, reiterate what William was saying in the kind of undertones there as well, because I see this a lot when I talk to people and they say to me, no, I don't know where to get started with automation. And really what William was saying there is to get started, you just need to break down the task into a bunch of smaller tasks. If you go about it saying, I'm going to automate this thing end to end, you're not going to do it. Or it's going to turn out to be so complex that you don't even do it.
Yeah.
What you need to do is break it down into the subcomponents that exist in that task and say, I'm going to automate this small bit here, and then I'm going to automate this next small bit, and I'm going to automate this next small bit. And then once I've done all that, I kind of string all that together and I have a complete automated solution. You know, I constantly do what William was saying. You know, you go out there and Google something, you come across your own blog, you come across William's blog mainly, and you take the code, you alter that code to do the job that you need it to do. And, you know, you've automated something away, and it might be a small thing, or you might be adding to a bigger script yourself. So it's one of those things where you don't need to be scared of automation. You just need to start and do something very small and build up.
Alan, you actually, the very first time I spoke to you, I think the thing that you said that really stuck out to me was I asked you, well, when do you start automating? Because a lot of times I'll do things manually, even myself today, and I'll think it'll get to a certain point where I'll say, okay, I need to stop doing this manually because I've now done this multiple times. And I think one of the first things you said to me was, if I have to do anything twice, I need to automate it.
Yeah, there's a rule. If you do it more than once, you automate it.
But I'm still guilty myself because, you know, I work in labs a lot, you know, when we're here, you know, working on vSAN, and I'll spin up an environment and then I'll find myself manually doing things that I know I should just grab a script and just automate this process. But then I find myself caught in between that. Okay, I draw my own line and say, well, okay, if it's anything more than, you know, two or three times, then I'll automate it. But if not, I'm going to just keep doing it manually. So,
well, for internally, like originally I was doing everything by hand and I was working with bare metal servers a lot of times. And then I was like, well, do I really need bare metal to just, you know, take some screenshots of the UI? And, you know, then it was going and getting new builds and loading ISOs and things like that. I'm like, this is, you know, there's got to be a better way. And switching to using some of our internal, you know, provisioning systems and scripting, I mean, it's cut down my work by, you know, 10, 20X on just testing out a new build.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can take Williams script and do that yourself, then just think about the amount of time you've just saved for people that are not at VMware. They can just deploy their systems in real quick and get up there and start testing. And I know William has some other stuff that allows you to deploy a nested environment as well. So, you know, being able to do that for the times that you do need to take screenshots or just try something out and then completely destroy it is very useful.
The other benefit isn't just the speed, but the consistency, because that was always something that would annoy me is I would build some environment and then I would realize that, oh, on this host, PNIC is not matching to the VNIC numbers the same way as this other. I mean, inconsistency either causes, you know, potential instability or inconsistency. It's just, it makes supporting an environment later. You know, I remember the operations guys were like, oh, why isn't this lined up this way on this one host? It's like, oh, somebody must have misclicked. Getting rid of inconsistency just leads to a reliable and consistent computing environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a time cost, right? You're spending your time troubleshooting something, realizing like, hey, it was a human error, right? I mean, we're just not great at doing things in a very serial manner, right? That's really what computers are good for. And going back to your earlier comment, it's not even so much of, you know, having to write automation. There's so much resources and content out there, right? When somebody comes and says, hey, I took your script and modified it, we don't look at that as stealing or borrowing. It's just, it's sharing the community, right? If people can make use of the code that we've written, it means that we've done our job. We've been able to share something. They can expand upon it. They can commit that back to the community. And so it's not even just saying, hey, I need to find time to write the code. It may even be something as, let me do some investigation that says, okay, I've been doing this thing, you know, 4 or 5 clicks every single time. Is there a script out there that somebody else has written that I can potentially consume and better my environment, better myself, right? And so it's not even just having to write it, but you can also consume it. And you are doing some automation and hopefully you'll look at it and you'll say, ah, this is how it works. And you might be able to contribute back or write your own code in the future.
Yeah, that's actually something that we want people to do. So at VMware, you might have seen recently that we actually open sourced a bunch of our SDKs. So we took our SDKs that used to be produced as a zip file once every release with samples in them, and we actually put those into GitHub. So now we're actually enabling our customers to work with us, not only updating these samples ourselves a lot quicker and releasing these things quicker and being able to adjust the samples to meet the needs of our customers, but also take the contributions. As William said, you know, people are writing these things. Often they don't have a good way to share them themselves. So what we've done is we've given them a GitHub repo for each of the languages. There's one for Python, Ruby. There's one for the REST SDK. There's one for .NET, for Java, for Perl. There's one for Power CLI. And it's really giving people an avenue to contribute back and also look at the code that's been written by other people. We tend to all automate the same kind of systems. We all think that we have snowflakes, but when it comes down to it, a lot of the configuration we're doing is the same configuration that our friends are doing and our colleagues are doing. So being able to take that and work with that and have a good starting point is something that we absolutely want people to do and contribute back in our open source SDK.
Awesome. All right. Well, cool. I think, John, I just got the title for this one. We're just going to call this one Automate All the Things. I'm glad that we learned about what's going on at Hackathon. I'm definitely going to be there and see what's going on. I might even try and join a team if they let me, but if not, then I'll certainly be there to do as much heckling as possible. Gentlemen, I know you're both going to be at VMworld. We talked about that, but what other sessions do you guys have at VMworld this year?
So I'll go first. I have a session with Imad Yunus. We'll be talking a little bit about migrating to the vCenter Server appliance. This session will be a little bit different than past years. We're not going to be focused too much on the sort of official migration tool. I think that's a great tool that's been helping a lot of customers get off of the Windows platform. But we're actually going to be exploring sort of, you know, other ways that you can migrate off of Windows. There are going to be certain topologies that currently the tool does not support and sort of certain scenarios that's very difficult. And so we're going to be going through a series of customer scenarios that we've been seeing from the field, showing how you can do some automation around that. I'm actually currently working on a demo that I think should be pretty fun and cool to show off and stuff. And that will kind of help around migration from Windows to the VCSA.
Nice. Okay. What about you, Alan?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of sessions this year. My first session is with Chef, that we're actually talking about how they are leveraging the new REST-based API in vSphere and how they are, have updated their tooling to take advantage of that API. I've got a group discussion with Mr. Carl Ruddy talking about the vSphere APIs. You know, I always enjoy the group discussions, getting a bunch of customers in a room and just sitting there and having that time where it's not me stood up there presenting. It's actually all of us talking about the way things are and what people are doing. I have another session talking with Raghu and Mark, which we mentioned earlier, where I'll be giving that call VR demo. I have a session on our open source SDKs, talking about how you can actually get started with the SDKs, talking about what's available, and then showing how you can take up one of our SDKs and produce your own app with a nice Clarity interface within a couple of minutes. I have a session with Luke Deakins talking about Power CLI.
Nice.
It's actually Power CLI's 10th birthday this year. So we're doing a special birthday edition of the vSphere Power CLI session that we normally do. I have a session on talking about VMC and talking about the VMware Cloud on AWS and the how to automate that and some of the features that are available there. And I also have another session talking about what's new and the next evolutionary leap with Power CLI, and I'll be doing that one with Jake Robinson, who is the product manager for Power CLI.
What is that, like 9 sessions? I think I just...
15.
I don't even know. I've lost count.
you know how the scheduling gets done, is they take the person who's got like 9 or 11 or whoever has the most sessions, and they actually work backwards from that person.
Yeah, I think I just figured out the technology he worked on for the internal hackathon. I think he created a hologram, so he's going to be like in 6 different places at the exact same time. Oh, my goodness. Well, cool. I will be sure to leave all of these session links for registration on the show notes of this page, as well as links to the GitHub and all the other places where you can find all of this awesome automation stuff. John, anything else before we let these gentlemen go?
No, let's do this. Let's land it.
Awesome. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Check out the show notes of this podcast and all other episodes and subscribe at vspeakingpodcast.com. Big shout out to Alan and William for coming on this week. We're going to VMworld next week. And so, my friends, until then, bye for now.
I'm so glad John's back. That Dutch guy, I couldn't really understand what he was saying when he was presenting with you.
Did we want to tease that, or did you guys have any feedback into people that have been automating vSAN deployments at all?
Well, we did for the hackathon.
I've been doing it since vSAN's been released.
Right.
Yeah, I know you.
You know, I don't like this click-it thing. I don't want to have carpal tunnel syndrome, man.
3 clicks. Like doing the, you know.
Holy crap, man, my arm.
All wow. Right. Okay. That's got to go on the podcast.
Yeah. We got to get this thing on before we lose more good stuff here. All right. Let's get it started. I think we're all.
Wait a minute. I thought you guys were recording this whole time.
Oh, I am, but I don't want to. I haven't started the podcast yet. That was the pre-show. All right.
Let us know when we can start talking about Duncan and Cormac. It's recorded.
That's going to make the outro.
Enough of this jibber jabber.